are you?
Right in the middle. I don't know where I was putting it.
Good morning. Good morning, church. How are you this morning? This morning is going to be I'm looking forward to this morning. It's going to be a very special service. I'm sure Kathy Green is going to bring an amazing word. But before we do, I just want to say how privileged we are to have Kathy Green. We spent some time with her at dinner last night, and she's so amazing, so grounded, and I love that. And then God just said to me this morning, you're not forgotten anymore. Like, Langford felt like a forgotten suburb. And we felt as a church too, we were the forgotten church. But God said to me, no, I haven't forgotten about you. And I believe that that's why God has sent us Vicky Simpson, Kathy Green, Trent Membry. Now these are people that are so, I found them just so like us. And we're so blessed to have them in the house. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And Suki, come on. Let's give it up for them. So we got to spend some time with Kathy last night, and she's so amazing. At least we'll speak a bit more. But just to hear that her and her husband Richard have planted over 100 churches worldwide, that's amazing. In places you can't even spell those words, except for one, Russia. Something Stan, what is it called? Kyrgyzstan and all those stands. But just in places that you wouldn't think to go to. These guys just go and plant churches because God's with them. Amen? God's with you always.
Over to you. Oh, it's me. Okay. Well, we didn't purposely wear green today, but we thought...
Kathy Green.
Like, we didn't purposely do it, but it worked. So anyway,
there's actually a few people with some green on. It's all planned.
We sent out a memo. No, we didn't really, but we thought, we coordinated and then we thought, oh, it worked with the... Anyway, we didn't really. So last year we met Kathy at C3WA Pastors Retreat in November, I think it was. And I was privileged to be in a little group where we got to... say some little fun facts about each other and different things like that. And so one fun fact I learned about Kathy was that she knows everything about the royal family, and she follows the royal family, and she knows every detail. So I found that quite fascinating because, yeah, it is fascinating because you sort of know what you know in the media, but to follow them. So that's one fun fact about her. But spiritually, she loves the scriptures, and even last night when she was talking to us, when you would ask her questions, a lot that came out of her mouth was, it always referred back to, I love the scriptures. I love teaching the scriptures. And you can see she's passionate about teaching church and people and one-on-one, the wisdom that comes out of her when she teaches scripture and she imparts that into people. So you can see her passion, you can see, and one thing I... saw of her last year, she spoke about, hear me when I say this, it's not loving the unlovable, but it's loving people where people find, I don't know how to love this person. So she spoke about one lady where people would go to her and talk about how difficult it was to love this lady, but she just loved this lady to the point that this lady actually ended up, as grumpy as this lady might have been, feeling loved. And that was something I thought, well, we're in a neighborhood where there's so many people that can come across like quite maybe sometimes ungrateful in our meals, or, who do they think they are because we're giving them free meals or free groceries or however that may look. But deep down, they just want to feel loved. And I saw this from this beautiful lady when she was talking about how I just love this woman, even though other people found her quite difficult to love. So I really want... if I can encourage you to just position yourself to hear her heart in what God has brought for us today. She has 4 kids, 2 grandkids. So let me see if I can remember your kids' names. So there's Will, Lucy, Jesse, and Natalie. And then Frankie and Grace for your grandkids. So Will
what
and...
she said.
Will is married to Olivia, and they're about to transition and take over C3 Ride in October. And so we got to meet Will as well, and he's great. So the whole church is amazing. So we're so privileged to have them here, or to have her here and speaking into us and just her heart. And yeah, so just really position your heart into hearing what Kathy has to say for us this morning. So yeah,
can we welcome Kathy Green.
Very kind.
Thank you. It's always a little bit daunting when you get a really good rap before you start, because you think, oh my goodness, this better be worth it. I'm so happy to be here. This is quite wonderful. And last night I found out about your name, C3 Stand, and, oh, okay, hang on, just a minute. I'll just explain something. I'm not famous for many things. I'm very famous for crying. So some people have to be famous for something, and that's mine. And some people call it a gift. I call it an affliction. And but anyway, if I do begin to cry, simply talk amongst yourselves. I'll be fine. This morning I was doing my little devotional. I've got this little old devotional on my phone by J.R. Miller, and he always has a little quote. And the quote was from D.L. Moody this morning, and it says this: "He who kneels the most stands the best." And I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to C3 Stand, and I understand the name. And you are very, you've got a lot of Holy Spirit and momentum. So when you come in as a stranger to a church, you pick up what the feel is, and you have a lot of momentum. You're on the cusp. And I just saw an hourglass with the sand coming through. I just believe your time is coming. You're not overlooked, and you're certainly not forgotten. You're absolutely kingdom positioned. Kingdom positioned by the Lord. You are the light on a hill here, because many people have to go overseas for the nations, but you've got them right here next door, which is great, because you can stay in your own home and still get to minister to nations. Oh, thank you. Yes, that's the other thing. People in Ryde, always thank you. Always have tissues prepared. And weirdly, I never have tissues prepared. So I just never have a tissue on me. It's so, anyway. But there's such a momentum, and I just really felt faith in the room. And you are not overlooked. God sees you. Your time is coming. And it's amazing when you feel momentum in a church. It's because only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so thank you. It's a great privilege for me to be here with beautiful Pastor Lisa and Pastor Elton. It's a great privilege to be in your midst, to see Vicky and Charisse. Bless you, Charisse. Charisse was in our church for many years in Ryde. Ryde is the name of our suburb, not riding a bike. It's like C3 Ryde, R-Y-D-E. And Charisse was one of our most beautiful worship leaders. Oh, she was just so anointed, as you still are, my dear. So it's wonderful to see you. And thank you for this beautiful, oh gosh. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity. And what a theme: transformation, becoming authentic followers of Jesus. I always ask, what's the theme in the church? What is it that you're doing? And I thought, oh, this is great. And of course, for all of you, for all believers and for me, the great transforming work is done by our Father in heaven. Ephesians 2:10. You've probably had this many times in your series, but for we are God's handiwork, or masterpiece, or poem. This word handiwork actually is much larger than this. It means masterpiece, a work of art, or poetry. You are God's poetry, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance, that only you can do. So you are his poem. And transformation happens over time. This is one of the most important things to remember with transformation, in that it's over time. And I love the idea of being transformed by the Lord. When you were saved, when you gave your heart to Jesus, when you accepted him into your heart, you were actually saved with three separate timings. So the first was your spirit came alive instantly. Previously, before we give our heart to Jesus, before we're born again, our spirit is dead to God. And when you come alive in Him, your spirit is alive instantly and lives for all of eternity. Our soul, which is our character, is who we are, is being saved. This is a separate timing from instant, it's being. This is, I think, is very, very exciting that we are being saved, because this means as you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, you are transformed. And so who you are this year in 2025, in 2026, you'll be even more. And it lasts for all of your life. Till your very last day, you're constantly being transformed, which is exciting, because it's not about when you got saved or how old you were. It's actually being in the presence of God, and He transforms you. And the last timing is that your body will be saved and you'll have a new body, which is great. So we'll leave certain things behind and get a new one. We'll be like Jesus, go through walls. It'll be great. So this transformation is wonderful for all of us, that the Lord does this mighty work in us. And several years ago, one morning, I was praying for my friend. And I was praying for her, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said that my friend was like a rose in her garden. And I thought, yes, she is. She was graceful. She was a dancer. She was prophetic. She wrote poetry. I mean, she was a rose in the Lord's garden. I said, yes, Lord, she is. Then I thought, out of sheer curiosity, oh, Lord, if she's a rose in your garden, what am I? And the Lord replied quite quickly, and He said, a geranium. And I was offended. If you have a geranium in your garden, it's probably because you're not a gardener. And they're all... And I was offended. I thought, a geranium? And I thought, okay, Kathy, come on. Like, think of two good things about a geranium. So I thought, okay, you can plant them anywhere, and they're very hard to kill. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to embrace that I'm a geranium. But actually, as I began to lean in to the Lord and lean into being a geranium in the garden, I realised that the one place that geraniums look good, because they don't really look good in Australia, in my opinion, unless you've got a very good gardener, is in Europe. In Europe, they look great. You know, in little pots, on little windows, they look fabulous. And but I realised I needed to lean in to these things of the Lord. One of the things the Lord asked me to lean into was resilient, because geraniums are very resilient. And so, but we lean into this transformation. Your Father is the gardener, and He prunes you. Oh, that's not nice. He shapes you. He fertilizes you. And so we lean in. And we're actually transformed through proximity to Jesus. This is one way that we are transformed by Him, is this proximity to Him. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said this, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishes of men." In the other version it says, "I will send you." But in the New King James it says, "I will make you." So it's proximity. Follow Him and He will make you into something. The more you stay in proximity with Him, the more that He will transform you. And as we follow Him, this transformation happens for the sake of the kingdom, the things that you will do. And one day I was reading John's Gospel, just reading, you know, like for fun. And I was reading John, and I got to John 12, verse 26, and this is what it says. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." And when I read it, I thought, wait, hang on a minute. Jesus has drawn a very clear distinction between serving and following. And I've always thought, they're the same thing. If you're serving, you are following. I always thought they're the same. But Jesus actually has drawn a distinction, and I suddenly realized you can serve Jesus and not follow Him, which was a real eye-opener to me. And I thought, wow, we can be doing the work that we feel we should be doing and not following Him at the same time. So as I kind of really soaked this up into my heart, I would begin to ask myself, as I was serving, am I following you, Jesus, in my thoughts, in my heart, in my words, in my attitude? Am I following you as I serve? And I really started to take notice of myself as I was doing things for Jesus? Am I following him? Because we are transformed when we pursue. There's proximity and when we pursue him. We're transformed as we pursue the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 25, at 1 to 13, is Jesus talks about the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids. And so we'll just read this together. Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up. Oh, just in time. They woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, there's two things that happen when we read this particular parable. The first one is, for most people, when they hear this parable, they immediately identify with the foolish ones. They go, "Oh no, I am the foolish one. This is me. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do something else." And we identify immediately with that. The second thing that happens when we read this parable is some people would think, "Well, why didn't the wise ones just share their oil? Simple, problem solved. Then you all get to go in and no one's locked out." But actually, Jesus was explaining something quite profound in this parable. One of the things, there's many things from this parable, but I'll just choose the one, is that Jesus was explaining that the oil could not be shared or transferred. It actually required personal responsibility. And each one of us has this same personal responsibility to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. This is why we have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so we have this personal responsibility to constantly top up our oil. When Jesus was talking to the crowds and explaining this parable, they all understood what he meant about trimming their wicks and the oil. Those kind of lamps actually needed attention about every 15 minutes. So they understood that it required attention all of the time. They knew what Jesus was describing, which is probably a little bit more difficult for us. But it's actually, he's explaining, it's the little things that top up the oil. So every time you're in this relationship with Jesus and you come to a place of repentance, this is topping up your oil. Every time there's somebody in your life that you need to forgive and you move into that place, this is topping up your oil. Whenever you serve, whenever you're in amongst the body of Christ, you're topping up your oil. Being together in this place as you worship him tops up your oil. It's these little things that continually add oil to your lamp. When you show kindness to others and serve him, this is topping up your oil. So it's not the huge things that you do that make you wise. It's the little consistent things that you do as you walk with him. As followers of Jesus, both you and I are called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're also called to walk in the character of the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we don't have just one without the other. And Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which we all know very well. And so Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And to understand the difference between gifts and fruit, the gifts of the Spirit, of which there's also nine, and the fruit of the Spirit, is that gifts are given by God. They're given by him, they're distributed by the Holy Spirit. It's not that we take credit for this, but it's a gift from him. And for all of us, we will have one of these gifts or a few of these gifts, but none of us are going to have all of them. Not one person's going to have all nine gifts. We may pursue them, but you'll have a dominant gift. Fruit, on the other hand, is produced. So it's produced as you walk with the Holy Spirit, and we're actually called to have all of them. Like a bunch of grapes, we're to have all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit. So these fruits of the Holy Spirit are neatly divided into three. So the first three, love and joy and peace, is directed towards God and God towards us. So we have this love from Him, this joy from Him, this peace with Him and from Him. And then we direct this towards the Lord. We love Him, our joy is in Him, our peace comes from Him. Sometimes I will be somewhere and I will feel unexpectedly joyful. Like one day I was in IGA looking at the tins of tuna, and I had this unexpected joy just filled my heart. And I realized it was the Lord that did that, because there was no reason for me to feel joyful. And so the Lord does these things in us. And peace with God. There's two kinds of peace that you and I have. We have peace with God and we have peace from God. They're two different things. Romans 5:1 explains, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer an enemy of God. You have peace with Him. And peace from Him is when He sends peace into your heart. We all know Philippians 4:7, you know, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is peace from God. And so we have these things from Him. So these are the first three fruits towards God. The next three fruits are towards others. Patience, kindness, goodness. You express these, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, towards other people. So just so you understand, this is what you do as a believer. You express these. Patience and kindness, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, the very first two attributes of love is patience and kindness. So the Bible explains that these are the two attributes. Then it has eight attributes that love is not. It's not proud or rude or self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrongs. And then four of what it does is that it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and some one I can't remember. And so you direct this towards other people. When we show patience towards someone, or love or kindness, this is kingdom and it transforms others. So others are transformed by your patience. Others are transformed by your kindness. And last year when I was in Russia, and we were going kind of all over the place, I was with Richard, and we have two interpreters that travel with us. But the interpreters are not always with me, because they're often with Richard, because he's doing most of it. And I realized that when I was in amongst large groups of people and I didn't have an interpreter and hardly anybody speaks English, and my Russian is confined to Dobro Utro, and which means good morning, which is not really very helpful, is it? And I realized that I was going to have to do ministry without words, because there weren't any words that I could use. And so I thought, well, this will be interesting. And so I really focused on ministry without words, and I thought, well, I'm just going to be kind. That's what I can do, and that's what I'll, you know. So without words. So it never had occurred to me I'd never really thought about what this does to transform others until I kind of saw it. And there was one girl, I was standing in a foyer, and she was very lost and alone, so I just went over to her, because when you're in that group and you don't speak English, you've got to do something. And so I found this girl and I just went over and I just was standing with her. And then one of the interpreters came and she explained her story. And her story was that she felt out of place. She felt like she didn't fit at church. She had an abusive mother. Like, it was just a terrible story. And so we're in the foyer, in amongst hundreds of people. And so I just prayed with her and just showed her as much kindness as I could. And that was my only moment with her that day. And then the following day, I saw her again in the foyer, and she was so different. My interpreter and I were completely shocked. Her face was so different. And I'd never understood that kindness is actually also supernatural. It never occurred to me that we actually can show the kindness of the Lord and it does a supernatural work. So it wasn't because of me, but it was the Holy Spirit. And then I met this lady who wasn't a believer, and I gave her a hug, and she said to the interpreter, oh, she said, what was that power that happened when Kathy hugged me? And when she said that, I thought, what? Because I felt nothing. I just hugged, you know, la la. And she was very transformed by this. I had never realized the impact of kindness is so supernatural. And so you can leave a lasting impression. Jesus, the Lord showed kindness to you and me by sending his son. And that transformed us for all of eternity. So when you show kindness to another, this transforms people. When you have your dinners here and you show kindness, never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in this kindness and what he will do. The last three fruits of the Spirit are gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is about you. So this is in your heart. So the first three towards God, the second three towards others, the last three are you. So gentleness is in your heart. It's your character. Faithfulness is in your character. Self-control is about you. And Jesus displayed phenomenal self-control from the cross. He had the absolute power to bring himself down off of that cross to not endure any of the agony of the cross, but he had remarkable self-control. He endured the cross for you and I. And so we have this, the Lord Jesus, who does all of these things for us, and we have this self-control. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says, this is one of my favorite verses, it says about Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not seek revenge. Instead, he entrusted himself fully to him who judges justly. So this is the absolute self-control of Jesus, and we have the Spirit of God within us, and so we too can tap into that, although often it's pretty tricky. For many of us, we know 2 Timothy 1:7, and in the New King James Version, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And this word, sound mind, is a combination of safe and mind. It's the two words. The definition of this is good judgment, discipline, thought patterns, self-control, and self-discipline. And in 2019, I went through quite a severe trial over an extended period of time, which was very difficult. I was praying, I was fasting, I was asking people to pray for me, but it was just so overwhelming that I felt like I was losing my mind. And all of my thoughts were completely catastrophic. And so I could not get myself into gear. I just could not. And when I came through that season, I realized that this was about my imagination. And I thought, I need the Holy Spirit to help me in this area. You see, the Lord gives us three things for the purposes of his kingdom. He gives us dreams, both dreams in our sleep and dreams in our heart, so that we can see the things of God. He gives us our memory so that we can remember the goodness and kindness of God. And he gives us our imagination. Our imagination helps us to see what isn't yet seen. When somebody says they've had a vision of God, this is in their imagination. When you dream things about what God will do, this is all in your imagination. This is given to us by God for kingdom purposes. And Satan comes to steal all three. He gives us nightmares in our sleep. He crushes the dream in our heart. He poisons our memory. Charles Spurgeon has this wonderful quote, and he says, our memory preserves the poisonous weed, yet forgets the things of Christ. And this is what Satan does. He preserves the poisonous weed in our memory. And then the last thing is that Satan steals our imagination with catastrophe. So we'll come into a situation and our thoughts will become catastrophic. And this is what was happening for me. My thoughts were catastrophic over several months and I could not get myself into gear. And I really have thought about that a lot, and I thought, I don't want that to happen to me again. So I've been quite mindful of my imagination. So when this word says is a combination of self-control is safe and mind, this means safe thinking. And I realized I needed, when I come into difficult situations, I need to be mindful of safe thinking about three things. I need safe thinking about God. God is my Father in heaven. He loves me. He cares for me. He's unchanging. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. So safe thinking about God. Unsafe thinking about God is, what, he doesn't see me. He doesn't care about me. This is going to be awful. Then I needed safe thinking about myself. I belong to the Lord Jesus. His Holy Spirit lives in me. He has good plans for me. Your unsafe thinking would be, I'm not worth it. I'm inadequate, all of these things. And then the last thing I needed safe thinking for was my situation. So we believe in the unseen realm rather than that which is seen. So having safe thinking about my situation, to change the way I thought about it, and to see it differently. So my circumstances are real, but not necessarily final in God. And so to change the way I thought about these things, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So all of these things bring us into this very deep relationship with the Lord, but also transform us. Every difficulty that we go through has the potential to transform us for the future. Every difficulty that you and I face is actually gold. To be completely honest with you, I've learned more through my difficulties than I ever have through my good times. So I'm not as good in my good times as I am in my bad times. And I learn more. And the gift that God gives is revelation. So you'll be in your situation and he'll give you revelation. And I would say when we're in struggling, don't ask why, instead say what. Don't say, why is this happening, God? Why? The Lord is a king. He's God of all the earth. He doesn't really need to answer that question. Sometimes it's better that he doesn't. But what? What, Lord, is it that I should do? What should I learn? How should I travel through this? And this is what transforms us. This is what brings us into this place in him. The Lord has a mighty work that he wants to do in all of us, in you and in me, and to do things that are kingdom positioned that only you can do. And a couple of years ago, I was in a secondhand bookshop, and I found this book, and it was called The Meaning of Flowers. And I thought, oh, I'm going to look at this little book and see what geraniums mean. I did also think to myself, who's actually got time for this kind of thing? But anyway. And so I flicked it to geraniums because it was in alphabetical order. And the meaning of geraniums in this little book is actually friendship. And so, friendship with the Lord. So, John 15:15. Says this. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And this is the great truth about Jesus, that he calls you his friend. What a privilege it is for you and I to be a friend of the Son of God. What a privilege it is for you and I to be a friend of our Father in heaven, to be a friend of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, everything that he learned from his Father, he has made known to you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I would say that the Lord has each one of you on the edge of learning new things and being transformed. So in a moment, I want to pray for you. I might get the musos back. I would like to pray for you for the transforming work of the Lord in your spirit, particularly that you would know the friendship of the Lord, and also that you would walk according to the Holy Spirit, and also for your, just that you would see yourself the way that the Lord sees you. Sometimes I feel that oftentimes we are not very kind to ourselves. We're not kind about the way we think about ourselves. We're not kind the way we talk about ourselves. And so just that you would know the kindness of the Lord. But before I do that, I would actually like to offer an invitation, which is the most beautiful invitation that actually exists upon the earth. And this is the invitation of Jesus, that his desire is that each one of us would know him deeply, and that we would be born again. I remember the first time I ever walked into a church like this, I was horrified. I had come from a Catholic tradition where everything was very predictable and nothing was very, like, excitable. And I walked into a church like this and I thought, oh my goodness, what is happening? But there was something about them. Oh, see, I had seen people who were serious about God, who were intent about God, but I'd never met anyone who was happy about it. And suddenly I was in this room with people who were happy about God, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is so weird. And then I thought, but whatever it is that they've got, I want it. And you see, what I wanted was Jesus. And he's available for everyone. There's not some are better than others. He's not for the famous people. He's not for the knowledgeable people. He's just for people. For every man, woman, and child. And his invitation is this, that you would accept him into your heart, that you would come to him with humility, and that you would allow him to forgive you of your sin. Jesus explained that in order to know God, that every single person must be born again. There's not many ways to God. Lots of people think being good gets you to heaven. They'll all say that, oh, Auntie Flo's looking down because she was such a good person. But that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. He's the only way to the Father, and it's a free gift. But it does require a deep yes. It does require a yes of, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. Yes, I want to know you. So I want everybody in the room to bow their head and close their eyes for just a moment. You might be visiting today. I don't know who's who in the room. You may have been here many times. But if you have this desire in your heart to know Jesus, he is here for you. His arms are open wide. And you, all you need is a yes in your heart. The Bible says that in order to be saved, you need to believe in Jesus. And this is what the Bible tells us, that we need to understand and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was on this earth, that he was crucified on the cross for your sins and mine, and that he rose again from the dead, and that he's alive. When you believe this, even a tiny seed of faith is sufficient. And then the Lord promises that you will be with him. He will transform you. He will change your past. He will be with you in your present. And he will change the destiny of your future, your eternity. So if there's anybody here and you have a yes in your heart and you've never said yes to Jesus before, just in this moment while everybody's eyes are closed, if you could place your hand in the air where I can see it so that I can pray with you. If you've ever had the opportunity, today is your day. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps you're here today and you follow Jesus and you've just wandered away and you're back here wondering, will Jesus let me come back to him? Jesus' arms are open wide. I met a young man who had followed Jesus and then he lost his way. And he said one of the things about Jesus was that he missed him. Missed talking to Jesus, and you might be like that. So if you're returning to him, if you could place your hand in the air where I can see it so that I can pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like everybody to stand. Oh, stand in C3, stand. We're standing before the Lord. We're standing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you just open your hands and your heart, the transforming work of Jesus. Holy Spirit is here in our midst, and he will do a mighty work in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, ask for every person in this room that you would do a supernatural work, that you would do a mighty work in every heart. Father, that we would have all of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, we ask for your love, your joy, your peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Lord, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be able to distribute your kindness, that we would see your kingdom come. Lord, I ask for your blessing to come. You would pour out your blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, for those who struggle to hear your voice, Lord, I ask that you would bring increase. Lord, that they would hear you with an ever-increasing capacity. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heala ba 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 kushate. Ora ba 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 ki. Heala ba 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 ki. And Father, I ask for this beautiful church. Lord, I thank you for all that you are doing, all that you are about to do. Lord, I ask that you would prepare every heart as they work together for your kingdom. Lord, I just speak increase over this church. Lord, I ask for increase to come. Lord, I ask for people, for salvations, for baptisms, for finances. Lord, I speak increase over this church. Lord, I speak increase over Pastor Lisa and Pastor Elton. Lord, I speak increase over every leader in this room, every member of this church. Father, we bring the little children next door before your throne. Lord, we ask that you would do a mighty work in them. Lord, I ask for every teenager, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. I just speak wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in your name. Father, I just ask for increase amongst the youth, increase in young adults. Lord, I ask for the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. Come, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Singing, I just felt like this is we've just heard an amazing word from Pastor Kathy Green, and I just think that there's people in here that maybe you think, I haven't been feeling that peace and that joy from God, and maybe you need to reconnect with that, or maybe, God, I need more help to be patient, to be kind to people. And so I don't want to miss this moment when we've heard such a powerful message, that if that's you this morning and that you want to just connect with God, this is your moment. It doesn't have to be now, it can be later, but if we've got this time where we can say, God, I need that peace, God, I need that joy, I need to connect with you, or God, help me in my workplace, I just get so frustrated with those people, but help me to show that kindness, help me to show that love to people. So let's just keep worshiping God and just think about those things right now.
I will make room for you. my traditions, break down the walls. All my religion can show it. It's better we choose it. Oh, it's better to shake up the ground. All my traditions, break down the walls.
Of all my religion, your way is better. Your way is better. So shake up the ground. Of all my traditions, break down the walls. Of all my religion, your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground. Of all my traditions, break down the walls. Of all my religion, your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground. Of all my traditions, break down the walls. Of all my religion, your way is better.
Make that extra step today. You've been following God for a while, but what does the next look like? He just says, step forward. I'm going to give it to you this morning. Come on.
Do whatever you want to. I will make room for you. So do whatever you want to. Whatever you want to, and I will make room for you. So do whatever you want to. Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is and is to come. Seated on the throne above, he's holy, holy, righteous one who shed his blood to prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up, holy, holy, Lamb of God, anointed one. Was and is to come, seated on the throne above. He's holy, holy, righteous one who shed his blood to prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. And who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
There's no one.
There is no one. Only you, Jesus.
And who else is worthy? And who else is worthy?
There is no one. Only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus.
who was and is and is to come, seated on the throne above. He's holy, holy, righteous one, who shed his blood to prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. God anointed one, who was and is to come. He's seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one, who shed his blood to prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus.
Is worthy. No one else is worthy. No one else is worthy.